Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Deuteronomy 29:29. Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 8:1. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians 3:8. You see that verse on the screen, Ephesians 3:8. A magnificent verse of Scripture. We've been studying it. We shall continue to study that in this session today and then again on Wednesday night. A magnificent and wonderful verse of Scripture. Ephesians 3:8. When we come to study God's Word, we're aware of the fact that we cannot properly receive truth if our hearts are not in tune with our Lord. And that's the reason why we have a few moments at the beginning of our sessions for you to spend in time for prayer if you so need. If you are out of harmony, out of fellowship with the Lord, this is a good time for us to get back in fellowship so we can properly receive and metabolize His wonderful Word. This particular service is going to deal with the subject of the minister's enthusiasm. And you'll find out as we move along how fantastic this is in looking at the life of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. We spend a moment now in prayer, please. May we pray together. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours again to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. You've given to us so many blessings. We're the recipients of your grace. We thank you over and over again that you love us and care for us and that you've blessed us and that we have opportunity to advance spiritually on a day-by-day basis. That's our reason and purpose for being here today, once again, is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for your blessings. We ask that you'll be with us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, you see Ephesians 3:8. To me, the least of all saints, was given this grace to the Gentiles, to the nations, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. A powerful verse. We've been able to analyze it just a little bit. We've given you a summary. We've given you some exegetical studies. So now we're going to move along in our thinking. And that is, we want to see what enthusiasm the Apostle Paul had for the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you'll notice, please, that we have here this word, least, less than the least of all saints, was given. We've already analyzed that verb in the Greek. And then we have the word grace to the nations. And then the responsibility that he had was to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. I noticed that I had an interesting time, and I see it as I look at this particular verse on the screen. I can see what I've done here, and so I'll just cue you in on a little secret. And that is that when I type out a Greek word, I type it out in English first, and it's a transliteration, and then I change it from the English to the Greek. And I didn't get through with this one. You'll notice that I typed it out in English first, part of the word, and then I realized I hadn't finished it, and I started taking and put the Greek on it. So I put the Greek on it, and I didn't put the Greek on the first part of the word. I knew that you'd love to hear that. That's the only mistake I've ever made in life. I just want you to understand that that's a, when I look at this, I'm able to see what I did not fully do. All right, in case you didn't see it, I will go ahead and show you that we have the proclamation by the Apostle Paul of the unsearchable riches of grace. And the verb there is this one right up here, E-U-A-G-G-E-L-I-S-S-S-A-S-T-H-A-I. Don't need to go into Greek here, but I need to tell you that when you look at this word, you will discover that it is an emphasis upon a point of time. And that's an aorist tense. No need to talk about that other than it's a point of time. And you'll see that it is used as a point of time in history that the Apostle Paul had the responsibility of communicating the unsearchable riches of Christ. You'll notice also that it is a middle voice. It's emphasizing the fact that the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. I won't need to go into that. And then the infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire. That's all I'm going to tell you there. If we were teaching the Greek class, we would talk about that in detail. All I want to do now is to point out the fact that this is E-U and then A-G-G-E-L-I-Z-O. And I'll put that right for you one of these days. But anyway, when you have an E-U at the beginning of the word, it is the emphasis on good. And then they have, when you have two G's, it's an N-G. And so you have E-N-E-U and then A-G-G, angel, A-N-G-E-L. And then the rest of it emphasizes the middle voice and the infinitive mood. Not going to go into all that with you now, other than to just point out the fact that the Apostle Paul is telling us here that there's a reason for his enthusiasm. And I want to pause on that and let you see that the enthusiasm of a minister is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, that's putting it in a summary form quickly. Okay, if you will go back to Ephesians chapter 1, let's look for a few moments at verse 6, 7, and 8. You'll notice verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now look at verse 8. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So what I need to do is to point out to you that when you look at Ephesians 1:8, I'm putting that verse now on the screen for you, which says, which he made to abound. And the Greek word here is P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-E-U-O, perisuo, which is the word for abound, which he made to abound toward us in all Sophia, wisdom, and intelligence. Now, what we're seeing here is that the Apostle Paul is telling us that God's grace has been magnificently lavished upon him, and now he has, because of the enthusiasm of the abounding grace, he has the responsibility of communicating this wonderful subject to the Gentiles. If you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 20, you will read, but law entered in order that, and this is not a smooth translation, it's emphasizing that the offense entered into, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And when you look at the last part of the verse, it is emphasizing that the preacher has the responsibility of seeing abounding grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The enthusiasm of the minister, of course, is always God's magnificent word. Grace abounding. I want to explain today how fantastic the enthusiasm is for the minister. My enthusiasm has been in this church for all of these years to proclaim God's word in such a fashion that no matter where the person is in their Christian growth, they can receive spiritual fuel for their souls so that they can advance on a day-by-day basis. So it's grace abounding. The word abounded here in Romans 5:20, which I just showed you, when you look at it in Ephesians 1:8, when you look at it in Ephesians 2:8, and when you look at it in our verse, chapter 3, verse 8, you will see that the word abounded in Romans 5:20 is from a different word than we find over in Ephesians 1:8. In Ephesians 1:8, I read to you the word said lavished, is one translation. Now, what I want you to be able to do is to take a look at how fantastic these words are. The word abounded in Romans 5:20 is from a different word than you find in Ephesians 1:8. The word means to exist in abundance. But the second word with the meaning also to exist in abundance carries with it an added concept, an added idea that abundance is more than enough. Now, let me pause and let you see what is being presented here. Have you ever had a meal and you got full eating and someone, the hostess, kept pouring food on your plate and finally you said, in essence, I have more than enough. Did you get the mental picture? All right. What God has done for us is not only give us everything we need to be full, but God has given us everything we need to have more than enough. The thing that exists is what I would classify as superfluity. A cognate of the word is used in a letter in 108 A.D., translated, more than enough has been written, again in A.D. 117. The writer said, I count it superfluous to write at greater length. In addition to that, Paul prefixes a preposition to the word, which means to be over and above. Many words in the Greek have what is known as a prefix. And we've learned about 30 different prefixes of prepositions in recent days. And the prefix oftentimes is a preposition. And so we have the word above, over and above. So in addition to that, Paul prefixes a preposition to the word which means over and above. Thus, translation reads, where sin existed in abundance, notice, grace was super in abundance. And then some more added on top of that. I'm trying to put this in such a fashion that you can get and I can get over how fantastic the pastor's enthusiasm is. The pastor's enthusiasm shouldn't be just enough. It should be over in abundance. Over than just a little. Over than a much. Over. Superabundance. For instance, let's give an illustration. God created the sun to give light and heat to the earth upon which we live. But only a very small fraction of that light and heat ever reaches our globe. The rest is lost in space. We never need to be concerned that the light and heat of the sun will fail us. God has made an oversized reservoir to serve us. Now, if you're following my thinking, you're able to see where sin abounds, grace does far more in abundance. In other words, grace takes care of our weaknesses, our sins, our faults, our failures. There's enough grace in God's heart of love to save and to keep saved for time and eternity every sinner that is ever or ever will live, and then enough left over to save a million more universes full of sinners where they're such, and then some more. I'm trying to type out some things to let you see how great God's grace is, how wonderful God's love is. There are no weaknesses there. Nothing in the negative there. Super abundance. We've got to see that. We've got to see that your enthusiasm should be overjoying, a full, abundant, day by day as you live your life. No matter what the circumstances are, there should be an overabundance of God's love and grace that just exudes from your life and mine. So notice, please, there's enough grace in God's heart of love to save and keep safe for time and eternity every sinner that has ever been or ever will live, and then enough to left over to save millions more universes full of sinners where they're such, and then some more. What I'm trying to say is there's enough grace to meet and cope with all the sorrows, with all the heartaches, with all the difficulties, with all the temptations, testing, and trials of human existence, and then some more added to that. If that's all I had to say, and we had a closing prayer and we went home with an understanding of what I just said, it would make your day, it would make your week, it would make your month, it would make your year, it would make your life. So, preacher, back up. The sun is not going to fail us. God has made an oversized reservoir of His grace, of His light, to serve us. There's enough grace in God's heart of love to save and to keep saved for time and eternity. Every sinner that ever has or ever will live, and then enough left over to save a million more universes full of sinners, if that were the case, and then some more. There's enough grace to meet and cope with all the sorrows, all the heartaches, all the difficulties, all the temptations, all the testing, and trials of human existence, and some more grace added to that. The next sentence is a huge sentence. I should have typed it in capital letters. God's salvation is an oversized salvation. God's grace is an oversized grace. It is shockproof, it is strain-proof, it's unbreakable, it's all-sufficient. That's the preacher's enthusiasm. That is the Apostle Paul's enthusiasm. The more you read, the more you study the letters of the Apostle Paul, even though he went through so many major difficulties of life, you talk about enthusiasm. Excitement, joy, thrill in that fellow's life. The more you study the Apostle Paul, the more you'll be able to receive information about what caused him to tick, how great it was for him to see what God had done in his life. All beautifully presented in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh my, It's amazing to me. It's shockproof, strainproof, unbreakable, all-sufficient. It's equal to every emergency, for it flows from the heart of an infinite God freely, bestowed and righteously given through the all-sufficient sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. I think I've gone slowly enough. If you wanted to write those words down, you ought to, because they will mean something not only to you for the rest of this day, but weeks and months and years to come. I back up and repeat. God's salvation is an oversized salvation. It is shockproof, strainproof, unbreakable, all-sufficient. God's grace is equal to every emergency. What I need to stop and tell you is that the difficulties that come in your life and mine, the startling experiences that come to us at times, they are surprises to us, but they're not a surprise to God. In the eternal ages past, God knew all about it. He knew the beginning from the end of that situation, and so it didn't come to Him as a surprise. Your heartaches, your sufferings, your illness, the tragedies that may come to your life, may come to you as a surprise, or may come to me as a surprise, but they didn't come to God as a surprise. In the eternal ages past, He knew all about it, and He made plans for those situations to be taken care of in the eternal ages past. Now, if that doesn't comfort your heart, I don't know what will. If that doesn't make you have an appreciation for God and God's grace, then you've missed it, folks. You've missed it, but you haven't missed it. You understand. When your loved one passed away, may have come to you as a surprise, but didn't come to God as a surprise. And the eternal ages past, He made plans for you to be taken care of in the midst of that time of sorrow and suffering. God's salvation is an oversized salvation. It is shockproof, strainproof, unbreakable, all-sufficient, is equal to every emergency, for it flows from the heart of an infinite God freely, freely bestowed, righteously given, through the all-sufficient sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. Salvation is all of grace. Trust God's grace. It is super abounding grace. It is the enthusiasm of your soul. Why was the Apostle Paul so enthusiastic? Why did God lead him to write all of these New Testament books? The enthusiasm of his soul. It was God's grace. It was super abounding grace. That's the reason why I repeat Romans 5:20 tells us, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is one of the most precious words in the wonderful Word of God. That's the reason we're staying on this verse. The Apostle Paul says, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. To me. That's personal. To me, Paul said, I was made a minister. To me, verse 8, our verse, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to me. That's his enthusiasm. That's the joy, the satisfaction of his heart. And then he said, and my responsibility now is not to be sloppy in my mind, but to be enthusiastic and to bring this great message to the Gentiles. What's that message? It's the unfathomable riches of Christ. How fantastic. Father, thank you for the enthusiasm that we as Christians have. And Father, thank you for the enthusiasm that ministers have when they realize the responsibility is so fantastic and so great to communicate this magnificent message to other individuals. We see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. We see enthusiasm, excitement, joy, peace, contentment. We see the desire that he had to proclaim the unfathomable riches of Christ. Help us to be willing to do that. Wherever we may go on a day-by-day basis, we pray that other people will be able to see Jesus Christ in us. That they will be able to see that there's one way of salvation, and that's through Christ. The only way of salvation is through Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. He was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man, to go to the cross and to die for the sins of the world. Not only did he die for us, but he was buried and came forth out of the grave, triumphant over sin and grave and hell and all of those things, and to be a gift of victory, a victory for us, a gift that would make it victorious for us on a day-by-day basis. That our enthusiasm may be exciting and thrilling every day. As we leave this place now, help us to go away with determination to let Jesus Christ be the enthusiasm of our lives, that other people will be able to see how grateful we are for the salvation that we know through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.